As we go to God's Word, let us ask God for illumination of what we are to hear. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the scripture, as the Scriptures are read and your Word is proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our epistle reading this morning is Romans, 6th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. I'm reading from the Common English Bible. So then, don't let sin rule your body so that you do what it wants. Don't offer parts of your body to sin to be used as weapons to do wrong. Instead, present yourselves to God as people who have been brought back to life from the dead, and offer all the parts of your body to God to be used as weapons to do right. Sin will have no power over you, because you aren't under the law, but under grace. Now what? Should we sin because we aren't under law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as an obedient slave, that you are slaves of the one whom you obey? That's true whether you serve as slaves of sin, which leads to death, or as slaves of the kind of obedience that leads to righteousness. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you gave wholehearted obedience to the teaching that was handed down to you, which provides a pattern. Now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking with ordinary metaphors because of your limitations. Once you offered the parts of your body to be used as slaves to impurity and to lawless behavior that leads to still more lawless behavior. Now you should present the parts of your body as slaves to righteousness, which makes your lives holy. When you were slaves of sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What consequences did you get from doing things that you are now free from sin and become slaves to God? You had the consequence of a holy life, and the outcome is eternal life. The wages that sin pays are death, but God's gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, the first 14 verses. After these events, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And Abraham answered, "I'm here." God said, "Hey, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him up as an entirely burned offering there on one of the mountains that I will show you." Abraham got up early in the morning, harnessed his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, together with his son Isaac. He split the wood for the entirely burned offering, set out, and went to the place God had described to him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place at a distance. Abraham said to his servants, hey, you stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will walk up there, worship, and then come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the entirely burned offering and laid it on his son Isaac. He took the fire and the knife in his hand. And the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. Abraham said, I'm here, my son. Isaac says, here is the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the entirely burned offering? Abraham said, the lamb for the entirely burned offering? God will provide it, my son. The two of them walked on together. They arrived at the place God had described to him. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He tied up his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. But the Lord's messenger called out to Abraham from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham says, I'm here. The messenger said, don't stretch your hand out against the young man and don't do anything to him. I now know that you revere God and didn't hold back your son, your only son, from me. Abraham looked up and saw a single ram caught by its horns in the dense underbrush. Abraham went over, took the ram, and offered it as an entirely burned offering instead of his son. Abraham named the place, The Lord Sees. That's the reason people today say, on this mountain, the Lord is seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This week, as I began to look at the lectionary passages for today, I felt that this Genesis passage would be what we need to consider to help us think through where we are and where we're going. It's a story most of us probably have heard before, but maybe there is something new that we can find. Right off the bat, we're confronted with this statement, after these events. Now, what does that refer to? What does that mean? The story of Abraham began 1,000 miles away when he lived in a different land. It began with a different name, Abram. But it did begin with a promise. God said, if you will follow me, I will make you a great nation, a great heritage. I will give you a land flowing with milk and honey, fertile and full. I will be with you always. But by now, Abraham was an old man, well over 100, and he is being tested by God. Tested by God? Are we tested by God? Is this pandemic a test? Do we get tested with our lives? So, how does Abraham react to this test? I mean, God promised a great inheritance, a huge family, a great place to live. Now, if Abe goes through with this test, he will no longer have his promised son, this son of his old age, the pride of his life. The child who caused he and Sarah to laugh. This offspring given by God to be a blessing. The son through which the nation would grow. But Abe reacts by accepting the challenge. Now, I don't want to get into the argument about sacrificing one's children. But Abe immediately responded to God's statement of what he was to do. Taking a donkey and two young servants, as well as Isaac, Abe loaded up the wood for the sacrificial offering. And they were on their way, headed for what turned out to be Mount Moriah. Does that sound familiar? It took them 3 days. Once there, Abe loaded the firewood on Ike. While he took the fire and a knife, just the two of them, while they were going up to the top of the mountain, Ike asks Abe, "Hey, where's this lamb for the entirely burned offering?" The reply was, "The Lord God will provide," which in Hebrew says, Jehovah Jireh. Now, once on the mountain, Abe arranged the firewood on this altar that he built and then laid it out and tied Ike to the wood. One can only speculate on what was going through Ike's mind. What trust he had taken in his father Abe. But here he was about to be slain. However, this is Abe's story, not Ike's. As Abe raised the knife to make the sacrifice, a voice came to him saying, "Stop, Abe, stop. I know now that you fear God and you did not hold back your beloved son." It was then that Abe looked up and he saw a ram caught in the underbrush. He moved over to it and picked it up and put it on the altar instead of Ike. God then reaffirmed the promises made to Abraham by God. Folks, you know, this account has so many comparisons to the story of Christ. The location. The inherent timing. The promises which are provided for us. Even the word test. Abe was put to the test. It's the same word that happened to Jesus in the wilderness when Satan tested Jesus to see what kind of a person he was. It was to prove that God was the most important thing in Abe's life. Even more than this child of his old age. This gift from God to assure him that the promises of God were for him. Abraham was told to fear God above all things. Last week, we talked about fear. Our withdrawing within ourselves because we have phobias of all kind, whether they be bodily related, like the fear of falling, or economic fear, like the losing a job or the stock market falling, or family related, relationships that might fail. But this is a different kind of fear. This fear is manifested by the love of, the respect of, the honor to, the subjection to, and the trust of the awesomeness of Almighty God. We too often have other gods. So, but they are there nonetheless. a God of family, jobs, position, fame. What is it that pulls your chain? What in your life causes you to put it before God? Abraham surrendered to God. Now, the biblical opposite of this story is the rich young ruler who knew in his mind to love God and neighbor, but he was unwilling to follow his heart and give it up and surrender to God. We don't like to think about surrendering to anything or to anybody. We sense that it represents our failing at something. It seems that it is built into most all of us Americans, to be competitive. And winning is important, almost imperative, whether it be at games like football and baseball, at cards, bridge, canasta, whatever. At jobs, where people kind of are proud of pay and prestige and power. At home, making decisions about the family. And again, that power struggle. In church, with the session, and again, a little bit of this power struggle. And perhaps even politics. But I'm not going to go there. The thing is that our pride, our sense of self, is many times the driver in our lives. Now, I think God is asking us to emulate Abe by being willing to surrender. So let God pull your chain. Friends, when we live with the awareness of the awesomeness of God, and when we have surrendered everything to God, then God seems to use us more fully for His purposes in our lives. As we close, let me leave you with these thoughts. What or who pulls your chain? What or who is your Isaac? What is your most valuable possession? Could it be that you have become preoccupied with those possessions? That those possessions have become the center of your life so that you no longer fear God? It may just be that God will say to you, I believe that it's time that we take a walk, and I will put you to the test to see what you love most in your life. Let's pray. Oh God, we don't put you first in so many parts of our lives. We thank you for Jesus and for what he had provided for us. We do want to surrender to you and have you as the center of our lives. Pull our chain and help us to respond. We do pray that you will be honored and glorified through our actions. This we pray in Jesus' name.